Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka in Michigan, and I hope we have a great show tonight, and we're ready to go.
Yes, it's Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. Happy Black History Month. Has political correctness gone too far? What is sexual harassment? Has cancel culture ruined society? Gym culture etiquette, do's and don'ts while working out at the gym, setting professional boundaries in the workplace and in real life, when does a compliment go too far and cross the line, what is a just punishment for sexual harassment? Is there a double standard when it comes down to the topic of sexual harassment in society? Will genders ever be equal in our lifetime? These topics and everything in between will be discussed tonight. We look forward to your input. You can call us 515-605-9802, say your first name and where you're calling from, and please, please, please turn off all your TVs and all electronical devices that may cause feedback, as this is distracting to the hosts and listeners. Glad you could join us, everybody. It's a sensitive topic tonight, and as usual, we're going to keep it honest, and, you know, we're not going to sweep anything under the rug like society always does. Thanks for sharing across social media and liking and sharing and commenting. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Lori, you know, how should we start the sensitive topic today?
Oh, it is a sensitive topic, isn't it? I guess we could start with, let's talk about maybe Weinstein, the Weinstein case, first of all, and, you know, his, how, you know, how things have changed from when he, you know, what the years in Hollywood that he was in Hollywood and how things have changed and the things that he did, you know, and how we got where we are today. Boy, he... lots of sexual assaults. He went to he went to prison. He's supposed to spend 23 years in prison for rape and sexual abuse. You know, I think, you know, because of his position in Hollywood, his power that he had in Hollywood, maybe some of the, you know, the aspiring actresses would, you know, go to him and maybe seek advice or lunch, or I do not really know why, but in a way I do know what I don't want to say at the moment, but, and then it just would turn out into something awful. You know, he, so were these women naive or were they were they wanting to have a little fame and fortune? You know, there's a lot of ways.
This
to
is
look
how
at
I
it.
Yeah, this is how I put it in perspective. You know, for many years, you know, in Western civilization and culture, you know, men has always had the upper hand. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, women tend to gravitate towards power. And, you know, mm-hmm. whoever made the big deals and who have the big decision making and who can pick, you know, who could be up there in front of the camera in Hollywood, it's always been
mm-hmm.
the central power has always been men. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
being human, you know, men tend to, like, take advantage of that where, you know, you see with Bill Cosby, it seems in many cases, you know. And women, I wouldn't say they're naive, but, you know, some people are naive and some, you know, like, really expect to go forward without putting out,
mm-hmm.
which should be the case, but, you know, realistically, you know, that's not the case. You know, because Weinstein, for example, when he mm-hmm. met with these women, mostly, he met in the hotel room, and he came out with robe open or in the shower, taking a shower
mm-hmm.
while they're in the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and then he, like, pulled the shower curtain, and he's butt-ass
yeah.
naked in front of them. You know, Bill Cosby,
yeah.
the same thing. You know, we have a whole laundry list. Even recently, Pamela Anderson,
mm-hmm.
You know, put out an autobiography saying that Tim Allen, he flashed her on a set of Home Improvement. She was a young 20-something from Canada,
yeah.
getting her big break and everything. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tim Allen said that didn't happen. And Pamela Anderson saying, yes, it did happen. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it becomes a classic he said, she said. And some of these cases
yeah.
are, like, spanning years. And, you know, the people
mm-hmm.
who'd say, oh, why didn't they report from then? Well, because the power is so generated in the man's hand that, you know, if they said anything, then the career would have been over, whether it's modeling, acting, whatever sphere of business, you know,
mm-hmm.
architect or a teacher, a secretary, whatever, you know. And because
mm-hmm.
of the Me Too movement, which is really, really important, all that, you know, norm, so to speak, is has changed, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a thin line between he said, she said, and what to believe,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's a real touchy issue. And, you know, what is political correctness? Has it gone too far? Because this generation, you know, the Generation X, what I grew up with, and generations previous to that, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, we saw everything on TV, basically. You know, sex on TV, violence on TV. But no, this generation has so gotten so soft, you know, everything offend them. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so a lot of things, societal changes that are happening. And we'll have our first call here from Michigan, is it? 5860
mm-hmm.
code. Hello, caller. Is this Elaine? Elaine calling from...
Right now, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Hi,
Elaine.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll have an 810 error code calling in as well. So I guess that person would rather listen.
Bethany.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know what I was going to say, David, before we move on a little bit. You know, with Weinstein, you know, it started with him, you know, 1993,
mm-hmm.
94, you know, was, I think, when it all first, you know, started to come out. And to use his power, well, first of all, in my opinion, and this is just me because this is, I'm a suspect of, I always think about things. When I go to do something, I think about all the woulda, shoulda, coulda, and what could happen and then what I would do. So these women, you know, that would go to meet him for the different reasons, let's say it was because they wanted a part and a play or a model or, you know, whatever they wanted to do, like you were saying, I don't think in my opinion, for myself, I don't know about for them, but it's for myself, I would not ever go to a hotel room and meet someone that I would, you know, maybe want to work for or work with or whatever the case would be. That to me would not be proper. And that would be a sign right there for me to think, you know, if this guy, if this man is really interested in my work, you know, then he will meet me in a restaurant and we can have breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That is how our, in his office, that is how I would look at it. Now, for the different reasons that these women did go to meet them, were they naive? You know, were they, you know, desperate for jobs? You know, did you know, maybe one of their friends say to them, hey, he's a really nice man. You know, you should go meet him. Who knows? You know, but the the outcome over and over was awful, horrendous for these, for a lot of these women. And they're scarred for life because of it. And they were put in a position where if they were to, he was a powerful man in Hollywood. And if he were to, they were to go against him, if they had a career in mind, it would probably be dead or gone. No career. So, yeah, he got away with a lot for a long time for those reasons. That's my opinion.
And key sexual harassment cases, Williams versus Saxby in 1976, Paul L. Barnes, Talent versus Douglas Costa, Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency in 1977, determined it was sex discrimination to fire someone to refusing a supervisor's advances. Around the same time, Bundy versus Jackson, 1981 case, was the first federal appeals court case to hold that workplace sexual harassment was employment discrimination. 5 years later, the Supreme Court agreed with this holding in Meritor Savings Bank versus Vinson. Another pioneer legal case was Alexander versus Yale in 1980, which established that sexual harassment of female students could be considered sex discrimination under Title IX and was made illegal. So first class action lawsuit, Jensen versus 11th Takunite Company, was filed in 1988, and it concluded 9 years later. So, you know, the old school thinking on where do things is that, you know, for women to get forward and move ahead in the corporate world, you know, they had to, like, put out to get something back. And, you know, sexual harassment may occur in a variety of circumstances in places as varied as factories, schools, colleges, the theater, the music business, show business, like we're talking about. Often the perpetrator has or is about to have power or authority over the victims, owing to differences in social, political, educational, and employment relationships, as well as an age. Harassment relationships are specified in many ways. The perpetrator can be anyone, such as a client, a coworker, a parent, a legal guardian, a relative, a teacher, a professor, a student, a friend, or a stranger. The harassment can occur in varying locations in school, colleges, workplace. We have a big problem in colleges now where college rapes, when it happens, you know, how many college rapes go unreported? Because when women report these harassment and rapes and assaults, nothing happens. It's swept under the rug. You know, harassment can occur whether or not there are witnesses to it or not. The perpetrator may be completely unaware that their behavior is offensive or constitutes sexual harassment. You know, this thing where boys were boys, you know? No, boys should be taught responsibly how to, you know, deal with the opposite gender and show respect and show some class and everything. And a perpetrator may be completely unaware that their actions could be unlawful. You know, in this day and age with the internet, you know, who doesn't know what is right from wrong in terms of, you know, lewd behavior and even comments? You know, incidents of harassment can be taken to situation in which targeted person may not be aware or understand what is happening. An incident may be a one-time occurrence. You know, that still doesn't excuse sexual harassment or you know, when you verbally or physically attack someone in that nature. Adverse effects of harassed persons include stress, social withdrawal, sleep disorder, eating disorder, other impairments of their health. The victim and perpetrator can be of any gender, you know, say gay and lesbian, you know, perpetrators do this thing with sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. The perpetrator and the victims can be of the same gender. The incidents may arise from misunderstanding by the perpetrator and or the victim. The misunderstandings can be reasonable or unreasonable. And with the advent of the internet and social interactions, including sexual harassment, increase occur online. For example, in video games or in chat rooms on Facebook, a lot of men, because a lot of friends on my Facebook page, the women, you know, go through this a lot where, you know, men try to holler at them, whether they're single or even it shows that they're married or in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Men would just, like, you know, send a dick mm-hmm. picture and say, oh, hey, what's up, you know? And when they're mm-hmm. ignored, they get very verbally abusive, you know? Mm-hmm. So things like that are put in consideration. The Pew Research Center in 2014 research statistics on online harassment. And according to the Pew Research, 25% of women and 13% of men between the ages of 18 to 24 have experienced sexual harassment online. And in the workplace, the Equal Opportunity, the Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, defines workplace harassment as unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature. When this conduct explicitly or implicitly affects an individual's employment, unreasonably interferes with an individual's work performance, or creates an intimidating, hostile, and offensive work environment. Mm. The challenged conduct must be unwelcome in the sense that the employee did not solicit or incite it, and in the sense of the employee regarding the conduct as an undesirable or offensive act. So, you know, the Anita Hill versus Clarence Thomas thing, for example, is what blew this thing all, you know, in the social, you know, sphere of life, where he was being nominated to be the Supreme Court Justice. And Anita Hill right. came up after 30-odd years saying, in her 1991 testimony after the Senate Judiciary Committee against Supreme Court of the United States nominee Clarence Thomas, citing sexual harassment. Hill said on October 11, 1991, in televised hearings, that Clarence Thomas had sexually harassed her while he was her supervisor at the Department of Education. And she, you know, reported this to the EEOC as well. According to Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas asked her out socially many times, even though the dumb rat bastard is married. For her, you know, 2 years of employment as his assistant. For 2 years, imagine going through that for 2 years, you know, mm-hmm. where you supervisor, you meet a boss, you know, almost every day, probably every day with him, you know, harassing, say, hey, go out with me. And after she declined the request, he used work situations to discuss sexual subjects and push advances towards her. And Ms. Hill testified in 1991 that term sexual harassment became known outside academic and legal circles, as the number of cases reported in the United States and Canada increased very much drastically, and then it has climbed ever since. You know, so it's like, you know, even with that big prime example of Clarence Thomas versus Anita Hill, mm-hmm. some men and even some women, more men than women, haven't learned, you know, from that. You know, mm-hmm. you could also look at Paula Jones versus Bill Clinton misconduct allegations, where, you know, she claimed that the then governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton, sexually assaulted her and harassed her. She even cried rape, you know. You know, sexual bribery, what is that? It's solicitation of sex, any sexual activity or other linked behavior for a promise of elevation in work status or pay. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show, what's the name, with John Hamm. The name of that show is Mad Men. and it was set in 19, like late 50s throughout the 1960s, where men could say and do anything. You know, a secretary walking from the secretary pool about her business, and a guy to slap her butt or grab her inappropriately. You know, so that thinking still permeates in society, you know, and with the advance of the internet and social media, you know, it's somewhat, you know, torn down and everything, but it's still there. You know, you could be walking and, you know, a construction site is there and you're walking by and guys whistling and hollering and shouting nasty things to a woman. You know, how do we get from, you know, that thinking and that acting up, disrespecting women and you know, do better as a society? I've been talking too much. Shutting up, man.
Well, you know, the Me Too movement, you know, it did inspire, you know, men and women, you know, to come forward with their stories and, you know, about sexual harassment. But you're right. The problem, you know, does still exist in the workplace. It can exist in the workplace. It can exist in school. It can exist in college. It can, you know, it's there. It is there. You know, and it's nice to know, it's, I guess we need to know about, there are two forms of sexual harassment in the workplace. You have a quid pro quo, you know, you want to advance yourself, you know, or you have a hostile work environment. So those two things are both hard for a woman to work in. Especially, you know, if she is trying to get, you know, a promotion or a raise, you know, it's probably hard for, you know, for her to put up with that. But that does happen. If they want a promotion, if they want maybe some extra benefits, or if they want a raise, maybe they want to change their shift. You know, maybe they want their job assignments to be lessened, or, you know, they want to tailor their job assignments a little bit better. They want to prevent their own job loss, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, they tiptoe around their bosses, and it does create a hostile work environment, and it's hard to work in those kinds of places. Now, it can also be flipped the other way, because you can have a woman boss and, you know, and whoever is underneath can want the same thing. So I guess in society it could be, you know, either way. It normally is the man is the boss and the woman is trying to, you know, get the raise, et cetera. But it can be both ways, because our world is changing. So, yes, as a society, we need to find a way to respect each other and to come together with each other and treat each other with, like you said, with respect and dignity and, you know, try to go from there. I think back, if when you go back maybe 20 years or so in the workplace, I think women dressed differently at that time as well. I think they dressed with more heels and skirts and maybe dresses, depending on what, you know, where you worked, of course, in an office or, you know, depending on, you know, what kind of job you had. But things now, I think, are in the offices even are more casual dressing. And so maybe that helped a little bit. I don't know for sure, but maybe it has. We have to learn.
You were talking about, can I jump in now? Okay. You were talking about Weinstein. Now, let's look at the environment that these young women were in. First of all, they had to look pretty. Second of all, they had to have a certain amount of sex appeal about them. I am sure that Weinstein, when he first met any of these young women, and maybe even some of them a little bit older but naive, he met them at an office or on the job. And he probably was a very nice man. And then he came up, I'll bet you any money, he came up with a story like, I've got to go out of town, and I really would like to meet with you. This could be a contract, but I'm at my hotel right now packing. Could you meet me there? I'll bet you any money that is the type of scenario that he used. And then when these girls complained to other women, especially other women, back then, what was said to them was, well, how did you dress? Did you let your boobies show?
Well, that's
did you wear a tight skirt? You know,
and not even
thinking about this is what's going to get them the job is their appeal. They dress for the job. But that doesn't give somebody the right to throw them on a bed and force themselves upon her.
No, never. Absolutely never. Absolutely never.
Well,
that's
a red flag right there. You know, like, for example, Mira Sorvino, great actress, Academy Award winner and everything. And, you know, when you hear her case, for example, you know, and how she was blacklisted because she and Rose McGowan and who else, Courtney Love, came out. Those were the three first women who came out saying, watch out for Harvey Weinstein. He's a predator, you know. And everybody who knew what was happening with Harvey Weinstein, because he had so much power, they're afraid to say anything. You know, and as Elaine's saying, especially when you tell women, like, hey, you know, I had this case and everything, and, you know, and they're just sweep it under the rug, you know? And that's sort of culture.
You know, going from different jobs that I went to, there was female bosses that when you would complain, they would tell you, well, how did you dress? What do you mean, how did I dress?
They
are
that.
I know, and I'm sure, Lori, you've run into that yourself.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, through the years.
You know, just because you look good in a pencil skirt and a turtleneck sweater does not give anybody, man or woman, the right to jump your bones.
No, it does not.
Yes.
And
we'll have a problem with that in the military. Go ahead, Lori.
I was just going to say, you know, absolutely, I do think that years ago, you know, the dress code for women was different than it is today. They wore suits and, I know, I'm talking about for myself, you know, suits and, you know, we wore a higher heel. You know, we, you know, dressed, you know, very nice. And
classy.
You know, classy, yeah. But now that has changed as well. I think we are more of a casual dressed society now. And, you know, maybe that helps a little bit, but I'm not sure that it does or if it doesn't. I don't know, you know.
That shouldn't matter. A pole dancer should be able to walk into her job in her string bikini and strings across her bosom, and she should be able to show her ability on the pole. And not the person interviewing her does not have the right to take her in the back room and rape her.
Well, absolutely.
It depends on the job.
And we can look at this vice versa, because a man with a female boss could do the same thing. He could walk in, you know, with a bathing suit on, and you know what I'm saying. So, we have to just look at things, you know, we just have to be professional. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, you can be friends, if you want to be friends with somebody outside of work, which is probably never a good idea, you know, outside of work.
It happens.
You know, that,
you fall in love.
But it does happen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, no, it happens. But what, you know, but what I'm saying is that we have to have mutual respect for each other. And, you know, we're all human beings, and our work, the job that we're doing, should be what we're focused on. But that isn't how, and human nature isn't like that, though. We know that.
But I think society has got to start, and I mean anybody that happens to be listening to this program, you have to start looking at the clues and the facts. What type of job did these young women have? They had to look pretty. Mm-hmm. They had to look sexy. So don't say, well, they had it coming. They did not have it coming. They were in there trying to get on the screen on at that time, the golden screen.
Yeah. Yes. And all of them probably beautiful women. I absolutely, you know, I'm sure they were dressed to the nine, and, you know, I am sure. And rightfully so, for the type of job that they wanted. If they wanted to be a model or, you know, an actress or get a part in the play, I don't know. You know, but he was a powerful man. And, you know.
Well, you know, some men and some women are not wrapped too tight. I remember reading something years ago in one of my classes. It was about a case that the man gave his reason to the court on why he raped this two-year-old, that she dropped her diaper. She dropped her diaper. She was asking for it. So, But you have to look at those facts, too. You've got some people out there that are just plain perverted, period.
Yeah.
Mental
illness.
Yes.
You could walk in with a potato sack on, and well, now it's plastic, but burlap sack on, and they would say that you asked for it, so. You know,
very true.
Okay, which comes to my other point of the other point about political correctness. You know, a guy could get in trouble saying, "Hey, oh my lord, that's a pretty dress you're wearing," you know. Mm-hmm. But before going to that point,
that's gone too far.
I agree with that. I agree with Elaine. I mean, I could say, "Oh, I love the color of your tie," or "I love your color of your sweater you have on today."
Mm-hmm.
That is only being complimentary.
But it depends on how you say it, really, because you could say, "Oh, like you just said, oh,
are
that's
you talking
a
about the
tie.
Tone? Are you talking about the
tone? Yeah, the tone. It depends on the tone, you know, and how you express it and how the person interpret that, you know. But we'll have two people on the line. We'll get them. We've been waiting over 10 minutes. Remember to say first name, where you're calling from. This is season 4, episode 10. Don't stand too close to a naked man or a woman. Talking about sex harassment, political correctness, setting professional boundaries in the workplace and in real life. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
You know, David, you use some choice words to describe Clarence Thomas. And those allegations that Anita Hill made never were proved.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Yes, ma'am. Glory, here I go. You should have caught up on that yourself.
Of course.
So that never was proved. So I don't know why you're calling that. But, you know, you talked about Harvey Weinstein. Didn't Oprah Winfrey suggest and send women to Harvey Weinstein? Yes, she did. And how many women got what they were seeking and that they went to him for and do the extracurricular things? You think that they should give up their position now that they realize what they done was wrong? I don't think they will.
No. In defense of Oprah said that she didn't know.
Are you saying the women are wrong?
They went to bed with him.
Okay, if this crazy person's on tonight, I'm hanging up. I'm not going to listen to the bullshit
again. And how about,
about
Kamala Harris? How about Kamala Harris and Willie Brown, David?
Okay, David.
The mayor of San Francisco.
Okay, they're grown adults and everything, and, you know, they have had a relationship. But we'll come back to Clarence Thomas. You know, all the men that were on that judiciary committee in the U.S. Senate confirming him, you know, why wasn't any woman on the committee to say a female perspective, a female point of view?
Peter Danforth was my senator.
Whether Democrat or Republican, came down against Anita Hill.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Danforth was not senator at that time. And he was well respected in the community, especially the black community. And his family, he had a Rawson Perina, hired many people at his company. His headquarters there on Sholto Avenue, and I believe it's 14th Street. We never have any reports of that. But Clarence Thomas worked out of the EEOC office there in St. Louis. No reports there. It was only during the time when he came up for nomination for that position, then come forth these people trying to assign him.
I was in the city at the time.
I lived in the city.
You were. Who cares?
It came up in the city.
Lori, why don't you show your age and your respectability and stop acting like a child?
You have no respect.
She's acting like a child. I'm not talking to her. I'm talking to David.
You're acting like a child.
No, but she's the horse of show as well. You know, Pianke, she has every right to, you know, ask
Clarence Thomas never was. Clarence Thomas never was found guilty for doing those things. But you got Bill Cosby that you don't have 35 women come out here just lately, white women at that, and claim that he sexually abused them.
Hey, what's the difference, white or black? I'm getting
tired
of your racism.
When you look at the picture, that's
all
you see. When you look at the picture, that's all that you see.
I'm getting tired of your racism.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I can only call it like I see it, like an umpire.
I'm getting tired of your racism. You always point out white.
And you know the thing about
that,
the thing about with Bill Cosby, it's very unusual for him to be charged for something like that at that time. So I think that that has to be taken into consideration, David.
Well, okay, there is evidence that when Anita Hill made those reports to the EEOC, it was swept
DNA
under
evidence? I don't know.
No, by verbal, you know, saying that, hey, this guy is my supervisor and he's been harassing me and nothing happened. When she went to the confirmation hearing to testify against Clarence Thomas, you know, the men, whether Democrat or Republican, came down against her, you know? So,
let me ask you something else, David. More recently, you've had those claims made against Cuomo, right? Where is he at?
Okay, then former Governor Cuomo.
Cuomo was accused by several women of what he'd done to them in their office, his office, and elsewhere. Nothing has happened to him.
Exactly, because there was nothing proven. Unlike Weinstein, unlike Bill Cosby. Excuse me? Nothing was
And this
proven.
Was just within the last couple of years where you have all sorts of evidence, more so than you did back 35 years ago like they did. You just had another lady come out and blame. Wait a minute. You just had another woman come out and want to blame Mike Tyson for something that supposedly happened 30 years ago.
We were talking about Cuomo. The women that said that he inappropriately touched them or kissed her face or whatever they said he did, he was never accused of sexual assault. Number one, he's not been accused. He has not gone on trial for anything. So what is the deal with Andrew Cuomo? Nothing. Weinstein, yes, he's in prison for 23 years because of this. Bill Cosby is in prison because of what he did. So what is the comparison? No comparison whatsoever. Do not put apples and oranges together. Don't do it.
Cuomo inappropriately kissed a woman and failed on her against her. Of course, she wasn't going to say nothing. She's afraid of her job.
A question. In your life, have you ever been in a room and introduced to somebody and just they hug you and all of a sudden they give you a kiss on your cheek? Have you ever had that happen to you in your life?
In my culture, that's the way sometimes we greet.
thank you so very much.
In our culture, in our culture, that's how we greet in many cases. But what I'm saying, what Cuomo done was wrong.
You asked a question. You want to always talk over somebody. I didn't ask you a question. You did.
You asked me if I ever done something of the nature you described.
And you said yes, and you answered it. Now I'm going to tell you what I think. In his culture, it's the same way. In the Italian culture, that is what they do. It's exactly what they do. When they meet a woman or a man, they kiss each other on each side of their cheek. That is their culture. So you mean to tell me in the Italian culture, and I've worked with many of them.
Hold on. Well, hang on. Let me ask you this question. I want some self-explanation
on
this.
Hold on. No, I'm not done.
Well, when you get done, let me know when I can talk.
As soon as I'm done finishing with my
question. Let me know when you're done.
Yes.
I'm making notes.
So if he went up to this woman, or they met in a room, whatever the circumstances were, and he went up to her and they said hello. He kissed her on each side of the cheek. She didn't slap him in the face or anything for it. What's wrong with that? That's his culture. Nothing is wrong with that. If she had something wrong with that, then she should have said something right then and there and said, hey, look, I didn't ask you to kiss me anywhere. Go away. That's what she could have done. Mm-hmm. So don't even try to tell me anything different.
All right, so that's that Wonder Woman. What about this headline in the New York Times? It said, hang on for a second. Mm-hmm. Let me address what she said. Multiple women have accused Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment or inappropriate behavior, prompting calls for his resignation. Now, they are describing it as inappropriate, not cultural, not traditional, not, hey, how you doing? They are describing it here in this New York Times article as being inappropriate.
It doesn't matter. You're not.
Ma'am, I'm talking.
I don't care. You talking.
I know you don't care. But I'm talking.
Go ahead.
Can we have a civil conversation?
No, we cannot.
And plus it says multiple women. And you just described one case. Multiple women have accused Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. And get this. This is a better description of the event. Inappropriate. They said it was inappropriate.
Wait a minute. Go back. Back up the bus, buddy. Back up the bus. Because we were talking about tradition. That's what we were talking about. And if a woman thinks, and that's exactly what I said to you, I used one woman as an example. I have no clue how many women, all right? But I'm just telling you.
You have no clue how many women with Andrew Cuomo.
Are you listening? Are you not going to listen to what I have to say? I am telling you, if that was not that woman's tradition, and it is his tradition, she could have said to him, hey, stop. If I don't like that, don't do that to me again.
Exactly, Laurie.
That is...
Mm-hmm.
David, do you agree with me? Am I crazy?
Oh, yes. I get what you're saying.
But let me ask you a question, David. Let me ask you a question, mm-hmm. David. Here on the New York mm-hmm. Times article, it says mm-hmm. multiple, and she just described one instance. Well, I give her that one. Well, what about these others that's involved in this quantity called multiple, and they're saying it's inappropriate. So that right there circumvents any excuse of a Italian culture.
They could always have gone to the
Do you agree with me, David?
No.
They could have gone to the relevant people to say, hey, you know, this happened and I felt violated. I didn't feel comfortable. Could even go to Cuomo himself. You know, Cuomo is not a monster like Trump is. You know, Andrew Cuomo is a reasonable guy. And say, oh, geez, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know. To me, Andrew Cuomo is not a sexual predator. Donald Trump is. What do you think about Donald Trump?
Why do you bring Donald Trump into the picture? We ain't talking to him. Donald Trump is not in the discussion. We're talking about women that have been sexually abused by people in power.
Harassment and
like Weinstein,
you know, because Donald Trump is one of
man,
the
you got some noise.
Men
you are, you driving your car? What's that noise in the background? Sound like a bad
no
muffler.
Idea. Nothing is on the background. I have no idea.
Right.
I don't know. But I'm saying, Pianke, we're talking about sexual harassment and violence against women and physical assault. Trump has to come in the picture because, you know, he said, grab them by the pussy, you know, grab them and kiss
well,
them.
That's a conversation of fleeing men. Here you got Leslie Bowlin. Andrew Cuomo. Leslie Bowman
okay.
details a sexual
the
harassment.
The president of the United States that grabbed him by the pussy, and
you know,
that's Pianke, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Something went wrong with Pianke. He got cut off and everything.
Oh, good. Thank you,
I don't
Jesus.
Know. It's good for the goose, but not for the gander when Andrew Cuomo is accused of something. When Al Franken is accused of something that they rehearsed, it was a comedy skit, yet he had to resign from the U.S. Senate. And Donald Trump, who's getting, you know, on trial for raping E.J. Carroll. What's her name again?
I don't remember that reporter.
Yeah. You know, DNA evidence that he raped the woman. Grabbing woman by the pussy, you know?
Yes, David. But did you notice the minute you bring up Donald Trump? Oh,
mm-hmm.
all hands off deck because the savior of Pianke,
mm-hmm.
all right?
mm-hmm.
That man.
Yeah, this is the double standard I'm talking about at the top of the show. That's double
yeah.
standard we're talking about at the top of the
yeah.
show. Where, oh, you know, when certain people do it, oh, yeah, it's just like boys will be believing. Boys being boys. But when a Democrat do it, oh, Jesus Christ, it's the end of the world.
Yes. He absolutely made your point, David. So you understand, you follow what I'm saying, right? Just by what
mm-hmm,
he said,
mm-hmm.
when you brought up Trump, he absolutely made your point, double standard, for sure. He
mm-hmm,
ignored exactly
mm-hmm.
what you said, ignored it all.
Yes. And my apologies to Suzanne in Michigan and Elaine in Michigan.
Yeah.
We'll accept everybody as a caller and everything. We can't, like, ignore anybody, you know, and we want different perspectives, different point of views, and so how we can, you know, do better as a society in terms of sexual harassment, sexual assault, and what have you. You know, just
mm-hmm.
shouting back and forth is not necessary. And, you know, I hope, you know, another night Pianke called back. But you notice every time he calls, you know, there's this animosity.
David,
mm-hmm.
he didn't call
yeah.
you a little boy. He called Lori a little girl. That,
yeah.
to me, was
mm-hmm.
verbal harassment. He should have
yep.
been
mm-hmm.
shut down right then and there. That's why
yeah.
I got
mm-hmm.
angry.
Yep.
He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He won't say anything to you, but he knows how to insult a woman. He called
yep.
Lori a
mm-hmm.
little girl,
mm-hmm.
and that really
yep.
ticked
yep.
me off. That
yep.
is baloney.
Yes,
that is sexual harassment on Lori's part.
Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
I really
she did not
I
deserve
really,
that.
You know, and yeah, and I don't deserve that, and I really honestly don't want him calling anymore because he
mm-hmm.
is counterproductive. We are trying to, like for tonight, we're just trying to have a conversation.
Brainstorm.
To bring better,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit better world. And he just can't do that. He thinks that
mm-hmm.
whatever he says is correct. He doesn't care. He changes the subject. You know, first he talks about culture, and I tell him about the Italian culture, and then he changes that. As well, because that's only
yes,
one person.
Yes.
No, that's Italian
yeah, the classic
culture.
The classic gaslighting.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
And we weren't talking race.
Really
we weren't talking black versus white. But he has to throw it in there. White women. I am getting tired
yes.
of him doing that.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. I mean,
we
I
are brainstorming. How is this happening? Why is this happening? So
yeah.
that when somebody serves on a jury, they'll know the appropriate questions to ask. We aren't
yeah.
downtrodding anybody. We are trying
yep.
to find solutions. He isn't. He calls to piss us off.
And let me tell
you
something. I want to say something because I live in Flint. I know a little bit about these kind of people.
Hi, Bethany.
Hi. Yeah. I'm sorry for interrupting. But,
no.
There's people that will come in your group to stir the pot, to cause trouble, because the art of war is to cause division, right?
Yep.
That's the art of war. You divide the people are going to lose. So that's the way it goes. So he's want a mole or just somebody there to stir the pot. That's all. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's what I think.
And, you know, and the thing is, you know, the thing is that, you know, he gets under my skin because he is demeaning when he talks to
me. He's getting paid to do that, probably by somebody or,
What? No, this is his personality, probably. Probably talks to all women like that. And
yeah, but why is he on your show? He doesn't agree with
him. I can go toe-to-toe with him if I wanted to. I could go toe-to-toe, but my blood pressure goes up too high. So I really don't want him on the show anymore. I'm sorry. It's half my show, David. We can talk about it, but he doesn't bring anything positive to this show. His perspective.
He is also a classic example of verbal abuse in the workplace.
Yeah.
He is a classic example of what verbal abuse in the workplace sounds like.
What is his name? You know his name?
Pianke. Pianke is an African name. So welcome back, Susan, calling from Michigan. Susan, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes,
I'm back. I'm sorry, but I can't stand that guy. He takes over your show every week, puts his two cents in like he's God, and blows off especially us women. And it just pisses me off, and I don't have to sit here and listen to the bullshit, you know?
No.
We were talking the real topic about workplace and women, but, you know, today it's ironic. I was at this presentation at our historical museum, and I was talking to some ladies because I did an article for the Detroit News about this woman artist and everything and how she wound up dying and leaving $5 million to Western Michigan University, but didn't leave anything to the town. And this other lady said, because the banks wouldn't give her any money to start her business. She was a famous artist and poet. She was an amazing lady. I mean, she suffered no fools. And she said she never got married because she didn't want anybody telling her what to do. But that is an example of how women have been treated all along. And some other things that came to mind was, back in the day, the ladies were saying, yeah, you couldn't get a credit card without your husband's signature. You couldn't get a loan. Forget getting a business loan because you were a woman. And this one lady whispered in my ear and she said, and you couldn't get a hysterectomy without your husband's permission.
Right.
And that brings that brings me to DeSantis. And notifying the government when you have your period while you're in high school.
Yes.
What
oh, my God. That's
hell?
Crazy. Yes. Yes. That's my view happening
when did
in Florida.
This happen?
Some more. Tell us more.
Oh,
tell
this
us
week,
more.
He published, he wants to pass a law.
Yes.
High school girls got to notify the school when they have their period. Why?
Susie, is it the ones that are in sports? Is that what it is?
Yeah, for sure. I think he's obsessed with girls that aren't all girls or some crap. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
What's DeSantis going to do, pass out the safe days?
I have no idea.
You know, the rhythm, what's he going to form, a rhythm band?
Yep.
Well, they said they even wanted to have women. Aren't they supposed to have a period calendar and they want to make it public? So they know when if they get pregnant
that's
or not, so they
right
can't
there.
Get abortions.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but then that idiot was talking, and I said, "No, I can't do this because he won't listen, and he'll, you know,
turn it into a shit show.
Did you understand the point that I was trying to make about tradition, like Italian tradition?
Yeah, they kiss on both cheeks. France did, two. They do it. That's been forever.
Yes. You know, and of course that was only one woman. That isn't what I was saying. I was just saying that if that is Como is a classic Italian. I mean, that's
touchy
it.
Feely.
A classic Italian.
You know, Lori, you were bringing out a good example, because I remember when I was little, and my grandma would invite the uncles that didn't come over all the time, and when they would come in the door, I would already had my hands on my face because I didn't want them to kiss me with those pinchy whiskers.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a greeting over there. And in France, France does it like three times, one cheek back and forth, you know.
they do it three times in France.
Yeah.
Okay,
what
do you think is a just punishment? What's a just punishment for sexual harassment, you think? Laurie?
Well, I think there should be – are you talking about if a woman a woman towards a man, being sexually harassed by a man? Is that what you're at? Or her boss?
Yes. You know? What's a just punishment?
A just punishment would be to have not an investigation, so to speak, but to hear both sides.
I got 2 cents. If it's at a big corporation, right, and they put it in the bylaws that said anybody that harasses a woman or vice versa, a man, and they're make the employee uncomfortable, they can report it to the head man, and then they can be put on probation and not get a pay for a week and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. If he keeps on doing it, kick him to the curb.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing that they could do is a verbal warning, a written warning. They can make him go to counseling maybe. I don't know if that's even, you know, something that, you know,
they could also do, like, especially big corporations that can afford to do
it. It depends on where you work.
Have classes, proper way to dress at work, proper way to act at work. And this is what you're supposed to act like.
Or maybe transfer them to another office location, depending, once again, what type of, you know, business it is. Or just plain old fire them. That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're sorry to say, but it's, you know, the old boys network, and they think they're superior and women are inferior, and so they have that attitude in their head, and they got to learn, no, it's equal, even Steven, and you behave on the job and you treat people correctly and politely.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like somebody, transfer to another department, but you don't, you know, overpower them, especially the boss over a...
You know, through the years, we've all had personalities that we did not gel with through the years, and you just learn to just, you know, say, hello, how are you, and just go about your business. That's what you have to learn to do in society. I mean, you just have to learn to do that. You know, but there's always that one person that, you know, likes to fuel the fire or, you know, oh, this one's not talking to me today, you know, in the coffee
room or
something like that.
You always have a
Pianke. Like What?
You always have a Pianke.
Yeah.
That's the one you kick to the curb.
You
can give him that drop dead look, you know, like, say that to me again. You want to try me? You better leave me alone.
But check the thought, ladies. The flirts were, you know, are usually younger single women, and they have it as a defense mechanism. They pretend to be flattered when they're really targets of sexual comments. They're just brushed off the shoulder, like, oh, you know, I'm the tomboy of the group.
and older women tend to typically disengage from men, keep a distance, avoid using profanity, avoid engaging in any behavior that might be interpreted as suggestive, you know? So it depends on the age of the person as well, you think, and experience, the world experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's what,
it has a lot to do with experience. You know, it has a lot to do with your personality as well, because some people get offended and take things more seriously or to heart, you know, than others do. Not everyone can laugh things off, you know, or just kind of say, oh, okay, and just walk away. Some people can't do that. They just take things, you know, like, oh, you know, I like the color of your skirt today. Just say thank you, and that's it. That's all you need to say. You know, you don't have to.
I bet you that airline attendants have a hell of a class to teach them how to deal with all the goofy men on board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That should be something that's standard procedures on any corporation more than 2-3 people. You know, because kids don't know, you know, coming into the grown-up world, you know, it's changing, I'm hoping. But, you know, they're naive, and you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're trapped or, you know, worried about keeping your job, because nowadays it's really hard. I mean, women always earn less than men as it is. So, you know, and you got a kid or a family to take care of and so forth. You can't afford to lose your job, especially if it's a good one. And, you know, so they need, there's got to be some sort of training, you know, in college or in senior in high school and stuff. They don't even teach them how to balance checkbooks anymore.
Yeah, but the thing with that, you know, like you can have, that's all well and good. But, you know, what will happen is like when a female go to HR and say, hey, this happened, I don't feel comfortable or anything, you know, HR may take the relevant steps into writing up the person or, you know, put them on verbal notice. And then that person who, you know, the culprit who made those comments that was inappropriate towards a female, you know, they go around and defame the character and the reputation of the person, the target. Know, and the target may feel objectified and humiliated by scrutiny and gossip. With increased absenteeism and fear of harassment, repetition, you know, the come under duress and stress at work, so decrease work and school performance as a result of the stressful condition. If it affects a person's sex life and relationships, where the extreme stress come on the relationship or the significant other when they go home, you know, sometimes resulting in a divorce, firing and refusal for a job opportunity can lead to loss of job career or loss of income because of this behavior, you know.
You know, David,
you
if,
know,
it gets,
things
if
like
it
that.
Gets that, if it gets that bad, David, where you have, where you take, you know, your, when you take your job or whatever is happening you to you on a daily basis home, and it interferes with your life, then it's time to move on. That's my opinion. Then it's time to
or
move
sue
on
the company.
Because
or sue the company.
Pardon?
Well, that's
or
expensive
sue the company
too.
You
got to get a lawyer and all that.
Yeah, but that would also take
time. No, they
time.
Do. That's not, that's
then,
done on a contingency.
You know,
you don't you don't have to pay them any
so
money until they
proof,
win.
As he said, she said, kind of thing too.
Yeah,
it's hard.
And you know, and you know, the thing is that when you go to do those things, everyone else knows that you're doing it, and I think it just creates like a bigger, and maybe
and then you won't get another job because they'll trash your reputation.
You know, maybe, so maybe the time
is all very delicate
to that point, and it's time to move on. That's all.
Whoa.
You know.
Do you two know what you're saying? Do you two know what you're saying? It's time to move on. Let it go.
No,
why
not
are
let
we
it
suffering?
Go. Report it.
Why
you
are
can't
we
make...
suffering? No, hang on.
You're cutting
why
your own
are we suffering?
Then. I know.
You've got to fight back.
But
and
you
when
only
you
have
a good
so
you fight back. You can only fight so much if it's costing you your future. You can't do that. What is it worth it?
You know, Elaine, that's what I was saying. Because David expressed when that, you know, when the employee went home, the person went home, the woman or the man went home, and it was, you know, interfering with their life. It was interfering with their marriage, you know. If it gets to that point, is it worth it? To me, myself, I'm talking about myself, no, it's not worth it. That's what I'm talking about. I mean,
okay.
And then maybe you have to just think and say, you know what? My life, my sanity, my stress, you know, my love for myself and my family is more than this particular job. Maybe it's not for me. I move on. That's my opinion and what I would probably
and
do.
And some people take it to another level in retaliation where, you know, in a day of internet and social media, the stalk you and cyber stalk the victim. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whether physical stalking or online stalking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have to put that in consideration as well.
You're right, David, because in this day and age, you know, with Facebook and Messenger and Instagram and TikTok, and, I mean, the sky's the limit, you know.
Well, these guys start in the
elementary and the high schools. The kids are so depressed. They gang up on each other and bully. And then it doesn't get any better when they get into college and in real life because idiots online aren't going to get punched in the nose like if they were on the playground, right? If they mouth off.
Right, right.
So it's another world, and I'm glad I'm not in it.
Yeah,
we'll call that you being on the computer, keyboard. What do I call it? Keyboard warrior, where you're not facing
keyboard
the person,
but
you're behind a keyboard and behind a screen, and you can talk all sorts of shit to them. You know, words matter. That's why words matter. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll go on to political correctness now.
So, can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
You're talking about men that do that stuff. A lot of times you're between a rock and a hard spot if you got to keep your job if you have a kid. Because I remember when I was young and I worked in the hospital, this one nurse, he kept coming behind the curtain whenever I took care of somebody that was brain dead or something, and he was trying to get with me all the time and try to do things with me. And he said, if I tell anybody that I'm new and he's been there a long time, nobody's going to believe him.
He tried. And that's awful. And so what did you end up doing, Bethany? What did you end up doing?
Just waited for him to retire.
Really?
Waited
you put up
for him to retire?
How long did you put up for it for, Bethany? A
couple of years.
Yeah, and that was hard on you, wasn't it? Was it hard?
Well, yeah, but that's how a lot of kids. He was married. He had like 10 grown kids, and I don't know. That was a long time ago. But
he
I
threw some alcohol in his body or something to say, oops. Sorry.
I was too scared. I had to take care of my daughter, and she was little.
Think about this. Think about this, everybody. This happened to you many, many years ago, and you still remember it. It still has impressed you. You still haven't forgotten.
I'm old now, so I don't put up with that no more.
No, of course not. Of course not. But what I'm trying to say to you is that kind of changed, you know, your perspective of who you are and, you know, how to put up with people. I mean, that's awful to have to be in that environment. It's awful.
You don't know how to talk your way out of stuff, though. But, I mean, that's really hard when you're young because you believe what he says, like he's been there a lot.
Yeah.
And you believe him.
Exactly. Yes. For sure.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on now, we're going to go to political correctness.
Okay.
In the 1970s, the American New Left began using the term politically correct. In this essay, The Black Woman, an anthology in 1970 by Toni Kidd Bambara, she said that, quote, a man cannot be politically correct and a male chauvinist too. William Safire records this as the first use of the typical modern term. And the term political correctness was believed to have been revived by the new left through familiarity in the West with Mao, Chairman Mao in China, Little Red Book, in which Mao stressed handling or holding to the correct party line. The term rapidly began to be used by the new left in an ironic and self-deprecating sense. So, you know, do you think, you know, political correctness tend to go overboard sometimes where, you know, you go to a comedy club and somebody give a joke and you're not really, you know, too keen on it and don't really like it, but yet still as an audience member, personally, go after the comedian. You think, you know, as a society, you know, we got too, you know, sensitive in terms of political correctness. Like everything offends you suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you're at a comedy club, you know, mm-hmm. and you're there, you know, for entertainment. I mean, you shouldn't be offended. Don't go to a comedy club. Mm-hmm. That's how I would say. That's what
right.
I would say.
And don't
I
physically
mean,
attack comedians.
Be offended, huh?
Mm-hmm. And don't
go
physically
ahead.
Attack comedians if you don't physically attack comedians if you don't agree with them. Whether it's a comedian who, you know, is a pro Donald Trump person or a
mm-hmm.
pro Hillary person, if you don't like the comedy, get up and leave. You get
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason mm-hmm. to, you know, you're right. There's no reason to attack them or him or her. You know, if you don't like what they're talking about, then you think it's not something that you can, you know, be entertained. Get up and leave.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything has changed, like school boards and library
mm-hmm.
boards and health departments. And everybody thinks that they can control everything, say what they want, be rude and awful and aggressive against people that are public servants, like
yes.
stewardesses and, you know, all that. Our whole society has fallen apart. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's because of the internet. You know, they get
mm-hmm.
their ideas and reinforced
there's a
online,
feedback in the background.
And
hold
then
on,
they attack people verbally.
There's a feedback in the background. Whoever has the TV on, please turn it off or mute it.
I don't
please.
Not me. I'm sitting. Not me. Not me this time.
God.
Yeah.
But people are mean to each
yeah.
other, and it shouldn't be like that. We're not civilized like we used to be,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not right. And it's the whole internet is ruining everything.
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
are on edge right now. Ever
yeah.
since 2016,
mm-hmm.
and that orange thing became our leader, everybody got
mm-hmm.
on edge, and everything was
mm-hmm.
considered politically correct. I'll give you a good
mm-hmm.
example. I say, happy
mm-hmm.
holidays, and I can tell by the look on somebody's face that they think I'm being politically correct. So
mm-hmm.
I will, that's not my phone, so I will say, I'm not being politically correct. I don't know what religion you are. And when I do that, I usually get a smile out of a person. And they'll say, well, I celebrate Christmas. And then I'll look at them and say, Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I mean, sometimes you've got to kind of, you know, sometimes you've got to kind of play it. And
mm-hmm.
other
mm-hmm.
people, you can say happy holidays. And I had one man turn around and look at me, and he said, well, happy Hanukkah to you. And I said, well, happy Hanukkah to you. You know, and we both
mm-hmm.
were laughing about it. I don't know if he was Jewish. I don't know if he was doing that just to be silly. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
He was laughing. I was laughing. I think we've all got to lighten
mm-hmm.
up a little bit. All
exactly.
of us.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree. You know, why can't we just, you know, say hi, good morning, smile at somebody, and, you know, if you're talking in line, you're talking in line, and, you know, if you have something to say, just keep polite, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay,
so,
another question, ladies, starting with Lori.
you think pornography is liberating to a woman?
What is that noise in the background?
I don't know.
I have
it's
no
a
idea.
Feedback.
It's annoying. Yeah, it's annoying. I have no idea what it is. It's annoying. I have no idea what it is.
I don't either. It's crazy.
No, it's not me.
No, I don't know. I have nothing turned
on.
Okay.
I
know the problem. I know the problem, and you know the person's on mute. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm asking, starting with Laurie, do you think pornography is liberating, sexually liberating to women? Because some people in the feminist movement think it is. Others, like the third wave feminists, think it's like disgusting. You know, what's your take? And then, you know, the other two ladies can chime in.
I am not a fan. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't,
mm-hmm.
I know some women, I don't know for whatever reason, they say they make a lot of money doing it. But it's not for me. That's as far as I can go. I don't like to watch it. I would never want to put myself in that position. And it's just not for me. I could never do it. But I am not going to, if a woman feels, just like if she works, let's say, in a strip club, you know, and $200-$500 a night, you know, you work in a strip club, you know, four nights a week and you make $2,000, you know, I mean, if you can put the money in front of what you're doing, I guess it's okay for you. But like for me, I could not do that. So that's where I stand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Elaine, you next. What's your perspective?
Yeah, what you mean, that type of job, how do I feel
like
about it?
Women who do adult entertainment. Yeah, women who do adult entertainment.
Well,
some
there's
in
all
the feminist,
for,
women,
there's,
some some
being
people
an
in the feminist
student,
movement think it's
okay.
liberating.
Being an, being an
some,
art student,
yeah, go ahead.
The human body to me is not dirty, okay? I had to take nude drawing classes. There is some stripping, and I've gone to strip clubs. Some stripping is absolutely beautiful. You don't see nothing. You see bubbles and fans and smoke and mirrors. And it's absolutely, it's almost like a magic show. And I've gone where they do the pole dancing. And that also, to me, is an exaggerated exercise form. And some people can make it look like an art. And if they can do it and they can do it tastefully and it doesn't interfere with their mental thoughts, I say there's nothing wrong with it. They're not stealing. They're not taking. They're not peddling drugs. They're not breaking the law.
But how about hardcore
no.
pornography? You know, they think that's disruptive to society.
Pornography.
Yes.
That to me again, there's a difference between pornography and art. You go to the Art Institute, you see nude drawings in basic human form. It's the way the form, how do I say it? Pornography is put into sexual positions. That to me is disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay, but as far as the nude body goes, no, the nude body is not repulsive to me.
Yeah, like when
it's putting the nude body in bad places. I don't know how to describe that. How I feel on that. I think I got it across.
Doing it, they make money doing it. It's a huge industry. Yes. You know, Elaine, when you were talking about the art form, it makes me think of like. When I've been in, you know, Italy and France and, you know, they have all the statues and, you know, the nude statues of the men and women, they're absolutely gorgeous. But that's art. And I understand what you're saying.
I took art classes and we had nude models.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the nude models got a little suggestive, and we had good teachers and they opened the door and told them to get their butts out of the room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I said, mm-hmm. There's a line that you're from.
But,
right?
You know, we had a couple of models that were absolutely awesome. They would take mm-hmm. the poses that you see, the Greek god poses, and mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. our classes. It was a little rough the first half a dozen times, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
in my 20s, it was a little rough to go to the mm-hmm. nude drawing mm-hmm. classes.
Susan, what do you think? What's your perspective?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, nude art is fine. Perverted porn is perverted, you know, and I think that puts ideas in men's heads that they could do that with any woman, and it's a personal thing, sex. I don't think it should be out there. I'm old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that just feeds crazy people, you know, where they go after kids and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. we just had on the news that this
mm-hmm.
sheriff had,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of pornography with little boys as young as 2
mm-hmm.
years old. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's perverted. That is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he's going to go to jail. They're working on a trial on that. And he
mm-hmm,
here he is
mm-hmm.
a law officer, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I think that feeds into these crazies. That's why I don't like
mm-hmm.
it. I don't get anything from it. I don't watch it. My husband never did. While we were married,
mm-hmm.
it's 53 years, we get along fine,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it isn't for me, that's for sure,
mm-hmm.
and I really,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the internet world that we are now, it's all over the place, and that's not
mm-hmm.
a thing to teach young kids either.
You don't put, you
mm-hmm.
don't look up
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff on the internet, you got a virus. I had a neighbor kid do that once when he was here behind my back. He's wanting to use my computer, he's looking up porn. You put a virus on my computer.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're talking terrible. About the violent stuff. That's horrible. That's wicked.
Yeah. You put a virus on my computer. Look, he's gay, the kid around the corner, and he asked if he could look up something on his computer. I know he's looking up gay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I turn my computer,
mm-hmm.
it's gay porn. What's
oh, wow.
So do you think it's detrimental? Do you think it has a detrimental effect on society? Because there's some people
that
are there. There's good
computer.
Pornography and there's bad pornography. You know?
I don't know.
Is there any such thing? Is there anything such as good pornography? You know? I mean, art is in the eyes of the beholder. You know? I'm not saying porn is good. To each his and her own. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
some people argue that, hey, you know, porn can be good, you know. But
I know.
I don't know. Just
well, with corporate, okay, so, like, a lot of the stuff, I mean, a lot of strippers and stuff are on dope. You know, I mean, like, I noticed
mm-hmm.
around Flint, they are. They're on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they do this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they do these things because they're on drugs, and they can't get a job. So
mm-hmm.
they probably make good money.
Yeah, they make good money. They can buy drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And
you bring them back the next day.
Yeah. So
you got to wonder
true.
About their self-esteem. If they have any, they're doing it because they're desperate.
No, the one girl,
mm-hmm.
well, I know of, her boyfriend was, you know, she was supporting her boyfriend and doing other things besides doing a stripper to support his butt. You know, he's like a pimp. So, I mean, that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff, I think it's wrong and disgusting to me. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I live in Flint, though, so maybe it's different where you go, you know.
I don't think it's just where you go. I think it's out there no matter where you go.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just kind of like...
Okay, so moving on. David,
there's another form of porn that is scary, and that is the violent porn, the sadistical porn, violent porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, S&M porn type of thing where the woman is tied up.
Well, I call it leather
and
lace, but there is another name for it. That's bad.
S&M.
That is wicked.
See the machism. Yeah, yeah.
You know, where
people
get off
watching it. Right?
Where people get off watching a human body get beat to death and it's that's bad.
They're sick. That's all.
Yeah.
And it means they're sick.
One man or woman's garbage and the next man's art and treasure. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't really agree with S&M, for example, but hey, if a next person get off on it, watching it, doing it, knock yourself out. You know, that's my thing, you know?
Yeah, but see, that led to that type of art led to the murder of that mother that was a real estate agent in Grosse Pointe, and he lied about it. That led to him hiring that man to kill his wife in the garage. I can't think of their names right now.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
That was like five.
Gloria,
years
you remember
ago.
The story, don't you?
Yes, maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And then
proved they ended up proving it in court. He did it because his wife found out that he was into that sadistical lovemaking.
Didn't he have a room in his basement or something?
That hidden room, yes.
A hidden room in his house, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
It's just called a red room I've been told, the red room. It's called a red room, from what I've been told, you know. Yeah.
A red room? I don't know.
Red room.
I just remember that.
Have you ever read the books or seen the with Gray? Gray's, what's the name of the book?
Me 50 Shades of Gray?
It was a movie.
Yeah,
what?
50 Shades of Gray.
I read
yes,
that book.
Yeah, the Red Room. That's what you call
it,
Red Room.
I did. I read the book.
Good
it
book,
was pretty
but
it was pretty good.
I was disappointed with the movie.
I didn't mind it.
I was disappointed with the movie. The books were excellent, you know. Like I said, I mean, you have to know what you're doing when you're doing S&M. You get what I'm saying? It's a consensual thing.
Because
they
get leads to abuse. You know, a guy wants his wife to do what he sees on video or movie or porn, and she doesn't want to. It'll beat the crap out of her or whatever. It's just
I would hope
not. It's not normal.
Yeah.
There's no parents in the home anymore. All these women are single and have kids and working all the time. Well, you got to go home. You got to go back to work when your kid's like 3 or something if they're on what I mean, I don't know. I'm talking about Flynn again. So there's no parents in the home. There's no husbands or fathers in the home. You know. And so I think that's a bad thing because there's nobody directing these children. The mothers are all working and at low-paying jobs so they can keep their food stamps, and it's just a nightmare. But that's what I see. And I might not be everywhere, so I hope. But
I have a question. It's a simple yes or no answer for each of you, starting with Lori. If you went to... I have a question for everybody. It's a simple yes or no answer. Okay. Go to Florida. Florida have a lot of nude beaches. And the rule is, if you go on a nude beach, you have to be nude. You know? Do you think nude beaches contribute to, the deterioration of society? Or do you think it, helps
you know, tolerance or tolerance. Like, what's your view on like things like nude beaches, you know, which is a popular thing these days, especially during summers in different states?
I wouldn't want to go to one the way I look.
I don't even know if there's any nude beaches around here. I have no idea.
We
I think there's one on Lake Michigan, but I have no idea where it is.
Yeah, I have no idea if there are any.
We've got one in the Oxford area.
Oh, do you?
Oh,
really?
You do.
I didn't know that. Wow,
I've never been to it, so don't draw any conclusions
so
here. I've never been to it.
You know, if you go to a new beach, you have to go with the mentality that everyone else is nude and nobody cares what they look like. I guess that's how you have, you know, because I remember when I went to Italy, you know, we would go on the beach and, you know, these women would think nothing of just walking out there with, you know, their, you know, just everything hanging out or being, you know, their tops off and just walking around the beach, and they didn't think anything of it. And no one else around them thought anything of it because it was kind of normal. Mm-hmm. So to them, it was normal. And to the people that were on the beach, it was normal. And nobody made a big deal out of it. So I guess that's how you have to look at it.
My sister-in-law, they have a travel group. They play cards, and then they throw the money in the pot, and when they get enough money, then they take a trip together. They went to a nude beach, and she got second-degree burns on her boobs because they never saw the light of day before.
So when you compare Italy and Europe, to America, do you think we're too hung up on the nude body and sexuality in general?
Yeah.
You know.
For sure. They are a little more relaxed there about all of that, the way they dress.
A lot of those countries are like that. They have low pregnancy teen rate, too. It's just weird.
I mean, I don't think they have all the problems that we have here. Women dress up. It's a different culture. You know, we'll go back to that.
Yeah.
It's a different culture.
And but like that little girl, like girl just had a baby, and it's like, what the heck? That little 15-year-old girl had a baby. And I just feel sorry for her, but I mean,
that's a rough way to go.
And these men prey on these young girls like that. I don't know, get it? Why?
That's terrible. Yeah, that's terrible.
I don't know the Italian
the
men. I think you know. I mean,
I'm
The Italian men are sexy, but they don't force themselves on people, you know?
Respect.
That
Laura says a cultural thing, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's like a conquest with these guys to get these little girls. I don't know why.
Any guy who would go after a 15-year-old child, it's ridiculous, you know? That's like predator. Matt Gaetz, for example, is a prime example of who a sexual predator is. Allegedly, you know, well, not allegedly, because the receipts are there, you know, with Venmo when you pay young girls. Yeah, you know, I mean, the whole sickening thing. Look on the guy who, you know, let's say he killed himself, Epstein, you know, has 13, 14-year-old girls there with grown-ass men.
Sickening.
I mean, in American culture, it's like we sexualize young girls and we shame them because they don't have the ideal shape, you know, compared to Europe and other places in the world where they celebrate the body, the human body, you know. I think it's all in culture.
It's a different mindset.
Education, go ahead, Lori. Make your point.
No, I was just going to say, from my experience, it's just a different mindset. It's just a different mindset. People are just they're different. I mean, they're happier. They seem happier. They're not stressed out all the time. They have their long lunches. You know, I mean, I couldn't get over the fact of, you know, in the afternoon everything closes up. It's like, oh my God, I have something to do. I got to do it in the morning. You know, that's just how the life is over there. And they're happy people. They're not all multi-millionaires, but they're happy people.
And you don't feel afraid over there.
Yeah.
I've never felt afraid.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't go to horrible neighborhoods or anything. I don't know if they have that, but I've never ever, even like mercados and open air things, and you're walking down the street with tons of tourists, I never felt threatened or afraid.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of Bethany answered the question. Yes or no, would you go to a nudist beach? Bethany said no. How about you, Lori? Would you? Wouldn't you?
Would I do
I mean,
what?
That goes for everybody on the panel. Yes or
I'm
no,
sorry,
would you or would you not go to a nude beach just for the experience? That goes for everybody. Bethany answered the question. She said no.
Me? No.
No,
that's
okay.
A no. Would I go to a nude beach for the experience? I don't know. I think I'd have to have a few cocktails first.
Well, how about you, Susan?
I'd have to lose 100 pounds, I think. It'd be a string bean. I won't
go. Might be a fun, it might be a fun experience. I don't know.
Me? Hell yeah.
I'd have to have a few cocktails. Let's put it that way. But I don't think, I don't think that I could... Okay, I'll put it this way. I might go for curiosity, but I don't think that I would be nude doing it. I think I'd have to wear something. Even if it was just a little something, I'd have to wear something. That's what
I think. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I know when my kids were little and I was skinny back then, I brought bathing suits from here to Italy, and we went down to the Rimini Beach, and they said, how come I got my kid in a one piece, and my son had the long trunks, and he was sick, so my sister-in-law ran out and got him bikini bottoms for both, because she was little, she could go without a top, and, you know, I kept my one piece, man, and they looked at me like, what are you doing, everybody's got bikinis. Even though I was skinny then.
And they don't care how they
everybody
look
had bikinis.
And they don't care how they look at them.
Oh, and those old guys with the little Speedos, they were gross. With their bellies hanging over
it.
Oh, gross.
No, it shows the confidence that, hey, I have a big belly. You know, I'm not like an Adonis, but, hey, look at me, you know. You know?
Their hairy ass hanging out. Nah.
The crown jewels dangling. But whatever. This conversation
was really disgusting. Especially coming from here, everybody's wearing, you know, the surfer shorts kind of beach stuff.
Yeah.
Then you go up there, whoa.
I know.
Yeah. Cultural rude awakening. Okay, let's change the topic to education now, because we have limited time left. Conservative critiques perceived liberal. Again, the background music, the background stuff. Okay, background, whoever has a TV on, please turn it down or mute it, please.
Not me.
None of us have it on.
None of us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did that. Okay. So, how much minutes we have? 21 minutes. Education. Mm-hmm. Conservative critiques perceive liberal bias in academia and education. Do you think that conservatives have a point, or are they overreacting, saying that most colleges and universities are leaning towards a liberal bias? What's your take on it, Lori?
I think that, no, they're not leaning towards a liberal bias. I think that everyone needs experience in different things. And everyone needs to experience experiences. They need to see both sides of stories. They need to see the good. They need to see the bad. They need to see what's happened in the past and what could happen in the future. There is nothing wrong with being fully rounded in your education. Absolutely nothing wrong. You know, and
that's
that are
called
people
an education.
That, pardon?
That's called a real education.
Yes. And there are people that think that if you, you know, do not stick by that history book or, you know, that math problem and teach it that particular way that, you know, you're breaking the rules. No, because we all learn differently. We all think differently. And we need a full rounded curriculum of experiences.
Or we will be fascists. That's what they did during the Hitler's time. Burn the books. Teach their craziness. And,
well,
you know, and that's what's going to happen here if they don't stop it.
Well, that's what the Satan is doing right now.
Exactly.
Yes, I mean, exactly.
I mean, he is
The orange monster's feeding it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still there. It's crazy.
You know,
yeah, make a point, Lori. You're making a point.
Well, I was just saying, you know, like the Satan, you know, wanting these black history books taken out of the classrooms. I mean, why? And why aren't the people of Florida, the population, the residents, the people that live, why aren't they in flames? They realize what kind of a governor he is. He is a fascist, cruel man. And I'm being nice when I say that. I am. And he is a racist pig.
Yeah, I think nothing happening in Florida because they made it illegal to demonstrate. You can go to jail if you demonstrate. There was some archaic law that made a couple of years back when you first became governor of Florida, where you cannot you cannot go out there and have a civilized protest, or you could land up in jail.
Well, Florida basically consists of people without children? Aren't the aren't families with children kind of a minority in Florida?
No,
senile. Oh my God!
I don't know about
I don't mean senile. I mean age. Isn't Florida more or less
the retirement state?
Old folks,
a retirement state.
Yeah,
I think
but
in certain parts of Florida, yes, but they have a big like in the
Miami,
Miami.
No.
I don't know.
Lauderdale,
I have to look. We have to look that up.
In Hollywood, you know, but in places like Naples, then the retirement community is high there. Where else in Florida? Some places in South Florida.
Bradenton, Clearwater.
Clearwater and near Tampa.
You know.
But the thing about
Floridians, I do.
Yeah, Floridians do really care unless it directly affect them, really. You know, and, you know, people say, or conservatives, I should say, you know, when somebody when conservatives disagree with liberal thought, you know, there's an unwelcome belief on ideas in college. We're talking about college level now, where you're conservative and you eschew your beliefs and your values, and it's unwelcome. You know, so that's why conservatives hit out saying that, oh, this political correctness is aiding to the liberal bias in academia and education.
It started back in the 80s. The Republicans started to tout this narrative, and nobody caught it. And the narrative was
the Tea Party.
Be careful what college you send your kids to, because they're all liberal. They're all going to teach free love and sex. And basically, they said the colleges that were the worst was the northern ones, like Michigan, New York, and they would dwell on the northern states. That mm-hmm. narrative started mm-hmm. started way, well, I would say, in the 80s. That narrative
mm-hmm,
started
mm-hmm.
back then. Don't send your kid
right.
to college. If you do, make sure it's a Southern college where they're going to learn
right.
family values.
Mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
religious.
In 2001,
remember family values? Nobody knew exactly
right.
what that meant, but it was a nice catchphrase,
exactly.
family values.
And I think the late 70s is where you have the cultural wars starting and everything. Well, back in 2001, remember conservative commentator Pat Buchanan from Crossfire FM, he wrote this book, Death of the West, and he said basically that political correctness is a cultural Marxism. Do you think mm-hmm. that's an extremist view? He said also that cultural Marxism is a trademark of intolerance. You know, do you think that was an extremist view from the right, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, when you stop and think about it, who gave all these titles? The so-called conservative Republicans. They gave us all
mm-hmm.
these titles. Political correctness,
mm-hmm.
family values.
Communist.
Mm-hmm.
Socialist.
Yeah. Fascist. Yeah. Fascist.
Mm-hmm. Do you think political correctness has any place in the newsroom?
What,
in the news?
First of all, David, you're going to have to just, what do you mean by political correctness?
Like, for example, I remember years back when Robert Novak wrote this essay asking that question, like political correctness. What can I think of an example now? Fox News is the clearest example of political correctness.
They're,
you know, they're intolerant against
no,
liberals.
No, they're not. They're an example
you, okay,
of
you ask me, do
right.
I think that political correctness belongs in the newsroom? I believe that the fairness doctrine belongs back to where it used to be
mm-hmm.
until Reagan got rid of it. And what the news reporters
mm-hmm.
should be doing is reporting the news, period.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what they're
mm-hmm.
doing now is they're giving free publicity to Santos and the orange guy. I
yeah.
don't care
mm-hmm.
that they're fighting. Let them fight. That does not belong
mm-hmm.
in the news. That's not newsworthy.
You know,
mm-hmm.
a perfect example of is David Muir. He's on for a half
mm-hmm.
hour in the evening. And the only thing that David Muir does is report the news. He has nothing
mm-hmm.
else to say about anything. He just reports it, and he shows the story,
mm-hmm.
and then he goes on to the next story. And
Lester Holtz does the same thing.
Yes, Lester Holtz does the same thing. And there's something to say about that.
PBS does the same thing.
Pardon?
PBS, they're not one way or the other. They
right.
report the news.
Yes, and there's something to say about that because, you know, you don't have to listen to the opinions, even though I do like my MSNBC, but I do like listening to David Muir because it's just a quick news. It's just quick. It's a half hour, top story, done. You're caught up, you know. I kind of like that.
I mean, it's very easy to figure out what's going on in Ukraine when you listen to David Muir and Lester
right.
Holtz.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, 16 tanks were shot down by the Ukrainians, and Russia bombed three apartment houses. It's real
yeah.
easy to figure out what's going on when
yeah.
the news is reported
mm-hmm.
that way.
This is off topic, but this kind of caught my eye today. Did anyone hear about the China balloon?
Yes. Yeah, I sent that to you. Yeah, it's the biggest, it's a spy balloon sent by China,
yes.
and they've been watching it as big as three buses. They
yes.
The Pentagon looked at that. They wanted to shut it down, you know, shoot it down, but it
yes.
was over population. If it got to a place where it wasn't populated, they'd mail it.
Yeah, it was in Montana.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
Killing. Nuclear. Yeah, where they had nuclear. What do they call it? their nuclear sites, their nuclear areas there.
Yeah, okay, we get what you police said, but
I'm sorry,
does it have camera? Does it have cameras?
No, we get what you're saying.
It's a spy satellite, balloon, hot air balloon,
spy
China. So they're intimidating us because they're pissed off at us, so they're sending the spy things over, like the boats and all that other stuff. And Russia is doing the same thing. They're sending boats and aircraft carriers, and then they played chicken with the pilots off the coast, you know. It's not looking good.
Yeah, I don't, I was surprised when I heard that. I know it was off topic, but I was kind of surprised when I heard about that. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, where our nuclear plants are. That's what I was trying to think, where the nuclear plants are in Montana. They were right above the nuclear plants.
Oh, so check this out now. Right-wing political correctness is a thing because Paul Krugman wrote that, quote, the big threat to our discourse is right-wing political correctness, which, on that liberal version, has lots of power and money behind it. And the goal is very much the kind of thing Orwell tried to convey with his notion of newspeak, to make it impossible to talk, possible even to think about ideas that challenge the established order, end quote. So again, you know, this Orwellian thinking by right-wing media. You know, when the people say, people on Fox News say left-wing media, liberal bias and everything, you have to look on who owns the media. Five families own most of the media, and all of them are conservative Republican billionaires. So how can you have a leftist, liberal-leaning, biased media when conservative billionaires own them? That makes no sense. You know, this Orwellian thinking by Fox News, you know?
Yeah, they own
They were talking about Fox News today that, what's his face, that's always pro-Putin and everything. Putin broadcasts his reports how he is always sticking up for Putin. Carlson, what an idiot. Putin is using his bullshit for propaganda in Russia. Isn't that wonderful? Why is he on the air?
I know. And I believe CNN is owned by billionaire conservatives as well. No, CNN. They were just bought not too long ago. I don't know about MSNBC. I don't know who owns them.
That's a cable channel.
Time Warner. I think Time Warner owns MSNBC. No, she's conservative. Last question from Dan and let everybody go. Do you think in your lifetime that genders will be equal, truly equal? Yes or no?
No.
No, if I'm too old, it won't be that quick.
No.
Do I think what will be equal?
Genders, you know, equality.
The
they still can't pass the Equal Rights Amendment, and that's from the 60s, for Christ's sake. They're supposed to pass with 32 states, and they haven't, you know, equal pay for equal work for women. Give me a break. What the hell? We got to go.
I'm mad on that one, and I'm mad that Carl, Mr. Lewis's voting rights law didn't go through either.
I know. It's ridiculous. And then the abortion law and all that other stuff. They're turning back the clock. It's ridiculous. It's a sin.
Yes, ma'am. All right, ladies.
All right.
Thank you for calling in. Susan.
Thank you for calling.
You have a good night.
Gentlemen out there, would you call sometime? We'd like some gentlemen to join in on us, okay?
You know, I speak to them, but instead of shouting.
Good night, Laurie. Good night.
Good night,
everybody. David.
Bye-bye. Good night, Bethany.
Yes,
good night, Susie.
Good night, Susan. Bye-bye. Good night, Bethany.
Good night.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It was a good show tonight. Very uplifting and all. And, you know, I want to say thank you to Pianke for calling in. Sorry that you got cut off and everything. Technical difficulties, seriously, no joke. but when you call in, whoever it is, please be respectful to Laurie. It's her show, though. You know, it's the name of the show is Kitchen Politics 123 with David and Laurie. So you can't greet me and ignore her
or talk down to her or, you know, like talk over her. You know, it's not just for Priyanka, but for everybody, especially if you're a man. You know, it's about respect and, you know, common decency, you know, and you know, you say your piece, we say our piece, and we'll have a good discussion and try to, you know, air out whatever grievances we may have and whatever solutions we may have, we'll put forward. You know, that's how we'll communicate in society, a civilized just society. And that last question, ladies and you, do you think that the genders will ever be equal in our lifetime? I think, no, probably next 7 to 8 years, you know?
No, I don't think so either, anytime soon.
You know, I mean, agree. For God's sake, we're late to the party in terms of having a female head of state. India, Jamaica, UK, New Zealand has had female prime ministers or presidents. Sri Lanka, you know?
Yeah.
But United States, you know, we're like 20, 30 years behind everybody else. India had Indira Gandhi.
But we are the greatest.
We had Hillary Clinton.
But we are the greatest country in the world, though. That's what we're told.
Yeah.
Over
and
over.
Yeah. We can do better, America. You know, have respect for each other. Listen to each other. Don't try bully with words. Our words matter. I don't care who you are. Words matter.
Exactly.
But thoughtful to the person. You know, I mean, you don't know what the other person going through. It don't take a lot to be nice and be patient and be thoughtful and respectful to the next person, whether Democrat, Republican, Christian, atheist, whatever. Just be nice. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, I mean, just have that little smile on your face, and you don't, like you said, David, you don't know, you know, what that person is going through. You know, they may have lost somebody that day, or they just found out that they're ill, and, you know, just a smile on your face and say good morning, have a nice day. Maybe that'll make your day.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yes. Right, exactly. And for women out there who, you know, may overreact and everything, not every man who hold a car door or a door open for you, you know, checking you out or, you know, trying to be a perv and everything. Just trying to be respectful, you know, and, you know, being a gentleman. Because, you know, there's extremists in every group. And there's this level of misandry in third-rate feminism that, Jesus, you know, we can't get into right now. And on the other side, there's the MGTOW culture where men go their own way that create people like Andrew Tate. You know, so it's from one extreme to the next. You know, we can do better as a society.
Yeah.
And we will do better as a society. Yeah.
Extremism
I think
is
a great
never
show.
Good. Yes, it was. And extremism,
yeah,
David, is never good for anything.
Yeah.
You know.
And the gym culture, we're not even got to touch on that, the way it was so, you know, exciting, the other topics we spoke about and everything. Not every guy who goes to the gym checking out women or trying to pick up women, you know?
Well, you know,
yeah,
it could
so,
be the other
you know,
way
just,
around, too.
You
know?
Yeah. I know, I know personally some women put on makeup, you know, to attract men.
Yeah.
And it could be like, you know, like sweat and it drooling down the face and everything. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I forgot now and everything. That's our show for tonight. We want to thank everybody for calling in and we hope
everyone.
It's been enjoyable. We'll learn something and we can take away, you know, positives from show tonight and everything. Okay, and this has been Kitchen Politics 123 for February 2nd, 2023. Happy Black History Month. Topic, Season 4, Episode 10, Don't Stand Too Close to a Naked Man or a Woman. Talk about sexual harassment, political correctness, and how to treat each other, you know, with respect and tolerance. All right, so until next time, same time, same place, next Monday. Next Monday, we have a special guest co-host. We're not really sure who it is. Well, hell yeah, let's see who it is. It's going to be, what's your friend's name again?
Eric Brantley.
Eric Brantley, who's a special guest for both of us next week. Look forward to that and everything.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Till then, we'll see you then next Monday.
I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie. Good
night, David. This is Laurie Pickett in Michigan. See you next time. Bye now.
Tell me, hold your head up, hold your head up, and be strong. Look what you call, you gotta get up, you gotta get up, and move on. Tell me how.